name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
From today's Gospel, Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. Lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The baptism of Christ is traditionally observed on the Sunday after Epiphany. It takes us straight from the Christ child in the manger to Jesus as an adult. This involves a bit of mental readjustment on our part. Only 7 days ago we were seeing we three kings, and today we see Jesus as a man aged 30. And the incident we celebrate, this baptism in the Jordan, has problems of its own. When Jesus comes to be baptized, like all the others, St. Matthew records that John the Baptist protested and questioned him, saying that it was he who needed baptism from Jesus, not the other way round. And Jesus replies, rather interestingly, "Let it be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." What does he mean, to fulfill all righteousness? Righteousness is not a word we use much these days. And consider this. Jesus is, we believe, the sinless Son of God, so he certainly doesn't need baptism of repentance of sins. He, in fact, is the giver of forgiveness. And he certainly doesn't need to be incorporated into the church, his body, like we do when we were baptized. So this baptism of Jesus, rather than being necessary, is deeply symbolic. Symbolic, firstly, of who Jesus is, the Son of God, and yes, that, and also our brother. By being baptized, Jesus identifies with us and the whole of humanity in our need to be forgiven of our sins, in our travails and troubles of life, and in all that is part of being human. So he who is divine is like us through this symbolic act. And thus, Jesus fulfills righteousness, and at the same time he is showing us the way to righteousness. It's an interesting word, righteousness, related to the word right. It's not the same as doing the right thing. Many people think they are okay, that their lives are all right, but in their living, are they righteous? Of course, the other thing in this incident, sin, is not a popular word these days. We don't like to think of ourselves as sinners, certainly from pulpits in the liturgy. We mainly want to celebrate our love and our relationship with our loving Father. And consider, we don't actually think that we sin, it's just a mistake, or it's someone else's fault. Our parents, our partner, our upbringing. It's been that way since the fall. "The serpent made me do it," said Eve, shoving the blame onto that creature. But if there is no such thing as sin, was Jesus wasting his time that day in the River Jordan? Of course not. Jesus never does anything which is insignificant, or unimportant. And that's underlined by our second reading today from Acts chapter 10. St. Peter says to Cornelius and his household, "God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." There's that word right again. And so you see, in Jesus' baptism, we are given the symbol of God's all-embracing love and acceptance to everyone in every nation. What St. Peter declares in Acts chapter 10 is given to us symbolically in the Jordan by Jesus himself. By being baptized and identifying with the human race, Jesus is proclaiming how much God loves the whole world despite its sin. Indeed, loves the whole world because of sin. In doing so, Jesus is establishing baptism as a sacrament not just of repentance, but of new life, of being reborn. Jesus is sanctifying the baptism of John so that that rite of repentance becomes the Christian sacrament by which we are reborn of water and the Spirit. But there is one aspect of Jesus' baptism today that we cannot put to one side or ignore. It is the voice from heaven. "This is my beloved Son," says the Father. Here, for the very first time, the great Creator known since the beginning reveals himself as a loving Father. And not only that, so there can be no confusion about the nature of God, Matthew records also that the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove. A dove, the symbol of peace. And Genesis says that the Holy Spirit brooded over the waters at creation like a dove, and that a dove was sent by Noah after the flood to find out if everything was okay. That great symbolic thing, the dove, now broods over the waters of baptism for Jesus. And so here God is revealed as three persons, the blessed and holy Trinity. They are here at the Jordan, and not just present, but recognizable and experienced. Here at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, the Trinity is revealed not as some aloof creed or doctrine, but in a personal way, and witnessed and testified to. And in the context of the Trinity today, we see our humanity being taken up through Jesus into the life of the Trinity, into his very divinity. It doesn't end at the baptism, of course. The Trinity becomes part of our life, and certainly part of our liturgy. Most of you will not know that when the priest prepares the chalice at the offertory in the Mass, he adds a little water into the wine. The acolytes know it and the altar guild know it because they prepare the two cruets. But you probably don't see it because you're too busy singing. Traditionally, this mixing of the water and wine is symbolic, like indeed the baptism of Jesus. The water represents Christ's humanity and the wine represents his divinity. So in the mixing of the chalice at the offertory, we see the two natures of God taken up symbolically in the chalice that we will drink from. This mixing of water and wine recalls the wedding at Cana, Jesus' first miracle, when he turned ordinary water into wonderful wine. And that also became symbolic of his two natures and established the sacramental principle that God does change things of this earth for his divine purpose. When the priest mixes the water and wine at the offertory, he says this prayer: "By the mystery of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity." That is the meaning, not only of the water and the wine, but of the whole of the Eucharist, that we may come to share through communion in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity. Thus, the chalice of salvation becomes both a symbol and a means whereby we are able to share in the divinity of Christ. At the Jordan, Jesus not only establishes the sacrament of baptism, he sanctifies the water of baptism so that forever, through the waters of baptism, we will be sanctified. In fact, Jesus is establishing all the sacraments today as vehicles of his divine presence and grace. In baptism, we are freed from the dominion of sin and death, and so move into the realm of the Holy Spirit, brooding like a dove today. And since Jesus has already gone before us, by his baptism, he is the trailblazer and example for us. The Father's voice tells us that Jesus is the model of a life whose every moment was lived in listening to the Father's voice and accepting his will. Today, Jesus invites us to take the plunge with him and immerse ourselves in his life. He invites us, as he immerses himself in the water of Jordan, to immerse ourselves in the ocean of his love, to share in his victory, to rejoice in his forgiveness, and to walk with the strength and dignity of the adopted children of God, born of water and the Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.